why you do it. Later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give off truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams
is on.
Yes, we are. Yes. Hello. I'm hearing an echo. This is not good, Paul. I'm here. Now I'm not hearing an echo. Now I'm hearing Paul. No. Okay. You never know what you're going to find when you come on the air, ladies and gentlemen, as we are right now. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Paul Revere of Talk Radio, sounding the alarm. And tonight is Tuesday night, a couple of nights before Thanksgiving. And, well, we have a guest in the first part of the program, at least an hour and a half or so. And we have another guest coming up at around the last half hour. So got a lot to talk about. But our first guest is, I guess, former New York City detective, a vice squad detective, for the city of New York, of course, for about, I think, a dozen years. And his name is Jimmy Rothstein. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, sir. Thank you. I'm glad we finally got back to you and we had you come on the program tonight. It's been a while, and I think we interviewed you, boy, a long time ago. You had a lot to tell us about your years with a Big Apple and the police department, huh?
Yes, there were a few interesting days while I was there.
Now, what were the years that you were in the police department, Jimmy?
I went in February of 1965, and I retired in March of 1980.
Uh-huh. All right. And you are living where now? What state?
I'm living in Minnesota now.
Yeah, you were. But you were born and raised in New York, were you?
No, I was born and raised in Minnesota, and uh-huh. Then I came home about 9 years ago.
Ah, very interesting. So you you went all the way to the East Coast, as they say in America, huh? And
yep,
came back.
Yep.
A lot of experiences that you have had, and among them, of course, the things that you had seen even after the fact was the files pertaining to the JFK assassination. And this is the time of year. In fact, I think, is it today or tomorrow the anniversary? I think it's today, isn't it? Of the assassination of JFK.
I believe so.
Yeah, so I know you had a lot of dirt that you uncovered on that particular assassination and conspiracy. And, of course, you also had a lot on Watergate, a lot of information on what really Watergate was all about. And in addition to that, you've talked a little bit about 9-1-1 and things of that sort. So we'll spend a little time going over each of them and I want people to feel free to give us a holler. Dial us up toll free. 800-313-9443 is the number. And Jimmy will be, I'm sure, glad to answer questions to the best of his ability. Jimmy, you, of course, now have been retired since 1980. I imagine that you have you've had a lot of time to think about your years as the New York City detective, huh?
Yes, I have, and some of it's good, and some of it's not so good. Many things were left undone,
mm-hmm.
But that's the way life goes, and just because you retire doesn't mean you have to quit. I'm more active now, and one thing I do have is hindsight, where mm-hmm. if I would have known then what I know now,
it
would have been a lot more interesting.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll talk about that. Jimmy Rothstein, our guest, and we will be back with him and your phone calls. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned. Uri International, that's the name. Put the good health and nutrition back in your food with 30 years of research in organic farming and importing powerful organic berries from South America and the Orient. This is an exciting nutrition buying club with a 50% fast cash bonus paid weekly for sharing these exceptional organic products with friends and family. No additives, no preservatives, no pasteurization, coming right from the farm to you. Take it from me, Rick Adams. These products will change the health of your body and your life with the highest quality, tremendous value, low prices, and a great opportunity for you to make that extra money you need. Over 35 live products, free website, training, and leads. This is the company you've been waiting for. Let food be your medicine and medicine your food. Call Barbara right now, 1-800-543-6606. That's 1-800-543-6606, Uri International.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we are back now. Jimmy Bernstein, a former New York City police detective. Jimmy, you were in the vice squad for what, most of the time or some of the time?
Well, it ran from one end to the other. Actually, even in uniform, I had started working vice. At that time, there was a tremendous movement of girls into New York by pimps from around the country, especially Minnesota, Ohio, and other parts, and I got involved in uniform, and that's what led me into working as a plainclothesman in vice and then as a detective. So most of my time I spent in vice.
Uh-huh. Now, the interesting thing is, apparently, from what you've told us in the past, you, as a detective, had locked up and dealt with some CIA people.
Yes, I did. There was one particular CIA agent that We investigated when one of my informants informed me that while he was in a hospital, his apartment on East 64th Street was used to compromise some people, and they used three little boys, two 14-year-olds and a 15-year-old, and they ended up killing these kids, and they ended up burying them somewhere up in Connecticut, and we ended up serving this man with a subpoena for the New York State Select Committee on Crime, and it was squashed under national security. So that was the one, and what's interesting is Sturgis was like my last shot, because right after that I was retired.
Interesting. But, you mean you were, like, forced into retirement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they were done with me, and I will say I was done myself. I knew I was finished. I wasn't going to be allowed to do anything. It got so bad that I could not go out to lunch unless I had a captain with me. And I was sat at a desk, and they had three different colored papers they use when you pull the person's records.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to separate the three colors. That was my final assignment. So
very interesting.
I wasn't that stupid that I couldn't figure out what they were trying to tell me.
Well, it sounds familiar, the story of New York City police, and there have been films made, books written about the corruption and the big city cops and, you know, the whole nine yards, and you were
well,
there.
That goes through all of law enforcement. You get it some
of
people.
Of course it does, yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that try to do their job, and they do it mm-hmm. to the best of their ability,
right.
And they get their legs cut out. That's
sure. Well, look at the FBI, same thing there.
Oh, same, sure.
Yeah, it goes up and down the ladder, and, you know, that's the tragedy, is that the good people wind up getting tarnished with the bad,
right.
Unfortunately.
And there are some things that you can only investigate so far. Anytime you go into the things that I worked on, there's mm-hmm. a definite limit set on how far you can go before they stop
right,
you.
Right. What about this? Now, was he a CIA informant, worked for the government? His name came up many times with former FBI agent Ted Gunderson, and his name is Mike Reconosciuto.
Oh, yes, I know Mike quite well.
What's the deal? What's the scoop on Mike Reconosciuto?
Mike was used as a young boy at the age of 13,
mm-hmm.
As a result of that, he ended up going to some very prestigious places to learn. Some mm-hmm. of it was formal, and other stuff was more underground. And
mm-hmm.
Mike was a very smart guy. That's the only way you survive when you get used as a kid. And Mike got involved, and he personally told me that the day he decided he was done is when they asked him to go into the Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is, the place.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we sure do.
And it was right after that that Mike gave the memorandum to the people at Promise Software, Bill, what was his last name again?
Gates?
No, Bill, can't think of his name right now.
Was
the guy that found Promise Software.
Oh, yeah, okay. Promise Technology, yeah.
Yeah.
I know who you mean.
Anyhow, Michael gave him the affidavit about the use of the Promise Software and how they put a trap in it and all that.
Right.
And that was the end of Michael Reconosciuto.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's got an interesting story, and we, we'll spend more time to do with him because he also tied in with 9/11.
Michael, yes, Michael was involved in a lot of things that took years and years before they came out that he had actually been involved in it. And
mm-hmm.
At first everybody had him classified as a crackpot,
mm-hmm.
and that was not true because there were a number of things that I personally face-to-face talked to Michael about that were very true. The methamphetamine production, when that started, that was one of Michael's operations, and different things like that. And
mm-hmm.
we had done an investigation at that time where they were feeding the methamphetamines into what they called the juice joints in New York, which were run by Anthony Rubito and Ionella Delacroce.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused my partner's house to be bombed. So we knew I knew independently that information was correct. So
mm-hmm.
Michael was very accurate. I actually went out in the desert and verified some of the things he had said that he had done, and there was nothing I ever looked at that he told me that wasn't
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, now he's being credited with all kinds of weird stuff. And
yeah.
He called mm-hmm. me, in fact, the last time he called me a number of years ago, he flat out told me that he had never said some of that stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It's hard to say what he has said and hasn't said now.
Yeah, it's interesting. You get into this coterie of people, and, yeah, it's difficult to tell, you know, when they're steering you straight or giving you a false roadmap. That's the problem with informants and others who are dealing with the government. Many of them are double agents, you know?
Right, and you have to have some independent knowledge that only you would know, and they don't even know about, that you can verify what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was lucky to have been in positions where I had picked up on this information because at the time I didn't know it, but I was actually investigating some of the things that came out 25, 30 years later.
Yeah. Such as?
Well, you can look at the Kennedy assassination stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Ioannidis information that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
That he, in fact, was CIA. There was a discussion in Washington just the last couple of days, and his name came back up again. Blakey even said, he says, we never knew that Ioannidis was a CIA guy. And he was right in the hearings. So they were compromised from the start.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, you probably put no faith in the Warren Commission report.
No, none of it.
None of it made sense.
Nothing.
It was just, it's incredible that they would even have the nerve to put off a commission like that. And, of course, that was then. I mean, people were, I think, much more innocent then and much more naive. Society was much more innocent. When Kennedy was assassinated, no one really had the depth of knowledge, as you say, that we learned later. And you learned, and others inside the government learned about the cover-ups and all of the vested interests, the parties that might have been involved. But to say that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by a lone gunman with a single bullet is absolutely insane, in my opinion.
Oh, it is. It's totally, totally insane. And you got to remember, in those days, they did not have the Internet like they have now.
Absolutely.
If that happened now, with the Internet that we have going, I think it'd be very difficult to pull something like that off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had the three big networks and, you know, the guys like Dan Rather who got their start there. Very small, very tightly controlled information, very few wire services, none of the Internet, none of the independent media that we have today. It was a different world then. But now, with what's happened since then, and the 9/11 and the Otto Kerner Commission cover-up about the riots in America, each and every commission gets more absurd with each passing commission, I believe it.
Well,
the
yes.
American people are a little brighter now than they, a little more knowledgeable anyway.
But when you look at these commissions, when they set them up, they always have the fox watching the hen coop. They never put independent investigators in there that really know where to look.
That.
Have you ever noticed that?
I did. Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah,
there's
it's
a reason
same,
for that.
Same cast of characters, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's always the same people, and they always come up with the same results. So.
I got a kick out of when George Bush wanted to appoint Henry Kissinger as, you know, as king of cover-ups, you know?
yeah, that would be the real person to put in charge of an investigation.
I mean, of all people to appoint to investigate 9/11, you talk about the foxes guarding the hen house. That was a classic example of that. No question about it. And yet, he was forced to withdraw, but we got Mr. Kane. And Mr. Kane, I'll tell you, ain't that much better than Henry Kissinger. You know, you look at him and Lee Hamilton and some of the compromises they have demonstrated and loyalties they demonstrated in the past, and you scratch your head again saying, wait a minute, hold on, these guys aren't exactly what I call disconnected, uninterested, nonpartisan folk. No, they're not, Jimmy. And the beat goes on, sir.
Well,
the beat
and then
goes on.
All you have to do is look at the actual field investigators. They're always the same people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at it both ways, but to me they're there for one reason, because they know, and I've met a number of them in some of the investigations I did, and I just thought of the guy, his name was Bill Hamilton. I never forget when I got back, I gave Henry Gonzalez's office a report on what I had found in the desert on Michael Reconosciuto, and it never went anywhere. You know, I gave it to an investigator who's been there for years, and I knew right away
mm-hmm.
who he was because I had worked with him in the police department.
Ah, there you go. All right. We'll pursue this and much more with Jimmy Rothstein, former New York City cop. Give us a call and join in. I'm Rick Adams. Hey, Rick Adams here. Experience the incredible germ-killing power of Oregano P73. It's scientifically proven. If you suffer from allergies, asthma, sinusitis, toenail fungus, athlete's foot, or any other condition, you need the immediate germ-killing power of Oregano P73. Oregano P73 is an all-natural substance and even supports the immune system. For more info, call 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
And we are back now. Jimmy Rothstein, my guest. 1-800-313-9443. Got a quick question about any of these issues or comment. We'll certainly welcome you aboard in a little bit. And I'd like to ask you now, Jimmy, before we get on to some of the other characters that you've dealt with in your years on the force, what were your thoughts about the JFK assassination as far as parties that were responsible, carrying it out and so forth? What were your, from what you had heard and seen in the years following, what did you learn that was factual about this?
Well, I'll tell you, it started off with the day I got the phone call that Frank Sturgis was coming to kill Marie de Lorenz. I had been in the Bay of Pigs invasion myself.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I was aboard the USS Essex CBS 9, and we were a carrier, and the word was that we were headed to Nova Scotia, except when we left Norfolk, Virginia, we went south, and they painted the numbers over on the ships. All the planes were painted white, and the numbers on the destroyers were painted over, and we were told that we were going to be the main support in the in an invasion of Cuba. And it turned out to be the Bay of Pigs. And at 3:30 that morning of the actual invasion, we had already been bombing the Bay of Pigs for 3 days and three nights. And at 3:30 in the morning, a call came to the bridge of the USS Essex, and I was a helmsman, and I was on the helm at the time. that they were to stop all bombing, and the call came from none other than John F. Kennedy. And this was, we could see, we were close enough that we could see the gunfire and stuff that the attack had started. And so they left these people, including Frank Sturgis, all the guys that were doing the invasion, get massacred.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, and I know for a fact, because the president is the one that stopped the bombing personally. And right there laid the groundwork for it. And then when I was there and made the arrest of Sturgis, one of the first things I did was let Sturgis know that I had been at the Bay of Pigs. And he said, the only way you would have known what you're talking about is if you were aboard the Essex. So after that, let's say we formed a very close bond.
That's
and it was at that point that I found out in my conversations with Sturgis. We had him 2 hours in Marita's apartment before anybody ever found out we had him. We were interviewing him there. And then we took him to the precinct, and we identified him as Frank Forini and took him upstairs. Now, as you book somebody, you're entitled to a phone call. I make that phone call. And the person I called, and this is when I first realized that there was definitely something wrong. The person that Sturgis called was none other than Gayton Fonzie. Mm-hmm. Gayton was one of the investigators in the House assassination hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on the phone and told him I had Frank Sturgis, and he talked to him. And years later, after he wrote his book, The Last Investigation, where he writes about this, I called him up and I said, you know, some strange things happened after that phone call. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, a guy by the name of Frank Nelson showed up at the station house. Now, Frank Nelson was a mob CIA guy who had worked out of Havana. Very strange character.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good friend of Marita's and all that. But he showed up at the station house and asked for Frank Sturgis. And the desk lieutenant said, well, the only Frank we got here is a Frank Forini. And that's when Nelson told him that Frank Forini and Sturgis were one and the same thing and was CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that blew the lid off of everything. And I asked Fonzie then, I says, did you call Frank Nelson and tell him that Sturgis was arrested? He says, no, Marita did. I says, no way. We had Marita in protective custody. She could not make any phone calls. So that's when Fonzie also realized that there was more going on than both he and I knew, even with the amount of information we had. So you can see right there that this didn't happen by itself.
No, some things I like to go over with you. For the life of me, I don't understand some of these things, and that's where I want to get your viewpoint here.
I'll answer anything I can.
Well, we've heard that JFK had had basically been sabotaged his efforts in Cuba by the CIA. Now, you're saying that the CIA was ordered to stop the cover bombing at the Bay of Pigs situation?
That was the United States Navy. I was aboard the Essex.
That was the Navy now, but that was JFK.
Ordered, and there's another guy that was on the bridge with me that I know that doesn't live far from me. I speak to him every once in a while.
Yeah.
And he heard the same thing I did. There's only so many guys on a bridge, you know, at mm-hmm. one time.
Right.
And so it did happen. And if you read there's a book written about it called The Bay of Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, it describes a lot of the things that happened. I never knew this book was published till a couple of years ago, where it describes how the Essex was involved and how the bombing was stopped and everything else. So there are people that know about it.
Now, what would have been the purpose, the ultimate purpose, the real purpose, that JFK ordered this to stop?
Well, I think he lost. That's one question I've never been able to really answer. I personally believe that he had second thoughts about it because mm-hmm. it goes back to why they wanted Cuba back again, especially Havana, Cuba.
Right, okay.
And
good.
I can go in and explain that
sure,
to you.
Sure, we'll be back to talk about that with you, Jimmy. Jimmy Rothstein, I'm Rick Adams. We'll return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. Yeehaw! That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
The first step in winning the war, spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on rbnlive.com.
Yes, we are on and we are back. And Jimmy Rothstein, detective, former New York City detective till 1980 with us. Jimmy, you're intriguing me now. A little bit about the Cuba thing, and the course we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, but the Bay of Pigs happened first, and the Bay of Pigs is something that is interesting because, see, I like to tell our listeners, I like to inform them, going back, especially younger ones who don't remember, it was the Eisenhower administration that actually betrayed Cuba into the hands of Castro, the communist, and it was the New York Times, you probably remember, Herbert Matthews, how he wrote so eloquently of Fidel Castro, the Robin Hood of the Sierra Maestras. And they were preparing the American people for this beachhead just 90 miles south of Florida. And that's exactly what happened. Kennedy inherited Eisenhower's policies. And for whatever reason, Kennedy, in some instances, was concerned about the role of the CIA and how far it could and should go. And many people feel, of course, it was the CIA that was part of the assassination team, that he threatened to divide up the CIA, to carve it up, if you will, and they weren't going to tolerate that. What do you think that was part of the reason that JFK did not want this Bay of Pigs to go through, vis-a-vis the Navy at least?
Yes, all of these things are true, But they make no sense unless you look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
And the whole picture starts, and I based this information on the interviews I did with Sturgis, and then at one point while I was undercover, I got brought into another man who had been the straight man for the mob and the CIA in Havana mm-hmm. in the Batista days.
Right.
And I don't know if you're aware that during the Batista days, Havana mm-hmm. was the entry and exit point for all illicit shadow government money, drugs,
right.
arms,
exactly.
you name anything that was corrupt uh-huh. came through Havana in
sure.
the Batista days.
Right, right.
Now, when Kennedy was elected to president, to be the president, Batista had to give up down there because Batista belonged to the New York mob.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this quite well because I was right, you know, later on I would run into these people because they were given the lower west side of New York,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Philadelphia area and the New Jersey area. And the people, the Patriarca crime family and the Chicago crime family, supposedly the people that got Kennedy elected, I don't even think Jack Kennedy knew about it. His father did, because his father is the one that made the arrangements.
Right, right.
Now, once you do this and the new power takes over, somebody had to take over Havana. And who was that but the New England Chicago crime family and mm-hmm. the New York guys moved out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they got down there, they ran into this guy Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this from both Merida and others, especially this one guy I interviewed who was very close with Castro,
uh-huh.
and told me that Castro wasn't going to go along with that program. So now came the time that the Kennedys had to deliver and get rid of Castro because these guys weren't getting their
right,
turn
right.
at the trough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what started it, from what I know. And then as this came along, and I guess Kennedy by then figured out that if he delivered this, for some reason they would take over the powers again and he would be in all kinds of trouble. That's why I believe Bobby Kennedy and them went after the mob like they did
mm-hmm.
and double-crossed them all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Sturgis, when I asked him about the Bay of Pigs and the assassination later on, he said that one of the biggest reasons Kennedy was assassinated was because of the double-cross in the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that, it makes a little more sense if you know what was going on. The guy I interviewed that gave me this information
mm-hmm.
was right in the middle of it. And later on, I ran into him in New York running the illegal bars and stuff on the west side of Manhattan where the really raunchy stuff was. So this information was very accurate.
So all of these factions, we haven't even scratched the surface.
That's right. We're only touching one part.
Right, one part of it. All these factions. JFK made a lot of enemies. Obviously, he alienated a lot of people. Lyndon Johnson also was not one of his biggest fans, you know. Lyndon Johnson, of course, vice president, inheriting the job immediately. And doing some very strange things after he immediately became president of the United States. Now, would you say that the CIA was definitely, unquestionably involved at some level of the Kennedy assassination?
Well, if Frank Sturgis was part of the CIA, which mm-hmm. he was, Op 40,
yes.
Op 40 was definitely involved in the assassination, and I based this on two things. The personal conversation I had with Frank Sturgis, or the questioning I did, where he admitted that he was one of the shooters. And the second thing is, a number of years later, in the 90s, there was a confession uncovered that Frank Sturgis had given to the Cardinal in New York. And this confession was given in the early 70s. Where he gave a 22-page confession. That confession, it has been read to me, and they tried to pass it to me two, three times, and we were never able to accomplish it because we always got intercepted. So,
another thing too, Jimmy, you might consider is at this time in 1962 anyway, were the Northwoods documents that have long since been declassified.
Yep.
And the Northwoods documents tell about the CIA scenarios, the plans involving Cuba and actually an attack on American cities, blaming it on Cuba, but it would be a CIA exercise. You're familiar with the Northwoods,
Oh, Dr. very much so. But you can go even further than that. When you look at the case of Pete Ray, he had been disappeared, shot down supposedly, and all this. And his daughter, Jan Weininger, went looking for her father, and Fidel Castro turned the body over to her. This was in the late 80s or so, and he was still fully chemically preserved and frozen in uniform and everything. She got the body back, but there are other people missing, especially Jeffrey Sullivan from Maine, who just 2 years ago, his daughter, Sherry Sullivan, was finally given information by the CIA that her father was presumed dead and missing in action, and he was, in fact, a CIA guy. For all the years, they had said that he didn't even exist. So all these things were playing, and that's why this stuff is starting to come out more and more every day if you look in the right place.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that you you would be on the force during the time that it happened would be the Watergate break-in. And what happened, exactly what the reason was, who the real players were, and what they were attempting to do. You said something rather shocking on the last program having to do with the Nixon people stumbling upon the, I believe it was within the Democratic Party, having to do with pedophilia.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you tell us that story once again?
Well, this is probably one of the most unbelievable things, and it would explain why to this day nobody is looking to stop this child pedophilia at those levels. I had a counterpart in Washington at the time by the name of Carl Schaffler. And Carl Schaffler knew of the Watergate break-in the day before it happened. And we also know that the reason they were breaking into the Watergate was that in the Democratic National Headquarters, there was a prostitution ring operating out of there. That isn't so bad. That doesn't really get you mixed up. But what happened was there was also a call boy pedophile operation operating out of there. And Schaffler's information was that they were going to go in there to get those files. Once you have those files, you control these people. You know, whoever's name was in it was then compromised. And there were, everybody's name was in there that was using little boys. And, see, this makes sense because Schaffler knew the day before at noon, this is very important, that door that was found open by supposedly some maintenance guy or something is wrong. Sturgis, Frank Sturgis told me personally that they had found the door open and had locked it once already. But Schaffler knew that that door was going to be open. So one of the burglars was, in fact, the informant in it. I never did find out exactly who it was, but I believe it wouldn't be hard to figure out who the rat was. And that's why they were arrested. And Sturgis told me exactly the same thing. Why they were in there was to get the little boy files so they could use it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said the last time.
Yeah, and that is very, very important. To this day, you've got, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Franklin cover-up.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were bringing the little boys from Omaha to Washington.
We talk about that quite a bit on our shows.
Yeah, so you'll see how that all dovetails off of this, and it's all the same players.
Isn't that interesting, huh? And we've got Bohemian Grove, and we've got all these nice little getaways where these people practice satanic rituals. They have been seen doing it. They admit doing it, many of them. And this government in Washington involves just about everyone, at least every administration that I can think of, involved in some cover-up.
There's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans when it
comes to
this.
Amen to that, Jimmy. Amen.
I was there for both sides, and I was called to Washington a number of times, and to me there was never any difference. Except
well,
that it still goes on, and hundreds of children disappear every year because of it. That is, of all these things, is the most grievous that you could see.
Sure.
Why do we have to donate our children to these people?
Yep. What was your reaction when the second in command to J. Edgar Hoover admitted to being Deep Throat?
That
allegedly.
To me, that was no news at all, because if you look back at the way J. Edgar Hoover was running the FBI,
uh-huh.
how he had been compromised and controlled, it wasn't hard to figure out what was going on. You know?
Mark Felt.
Huh?
Mark Felt.
Yeah, yeah. But you, look at the whole thing. Why didn't J. Edgar Hoover go over after organized crime? All you mm-hmm. got to do
right.
is go and see who he visited when he came to New York. Rosenstiel and mm-hmm. and that whole crowd, which was the Matty the Horse Iannella
yeah.
crowd.
Yeah.
I had an informant in there for many, many years that supplied the little boys to these operations.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best informants. The poor man died years later, probably the most unbelievable man I ever met in that business, and they had all these people compromised, and they were extorting the daylights out of them.
What about Hoover himself now? What was
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, was there a lot of rumors about him?
Well, like I said, I had an informant that at mm-hmm. one time at a Chicago Cubs ball game,
right.
Hoover and Tollefson were there, and they were running the kids by and trying to get them to bite. You know, so you know that they knew what was going on, and they were just going to put their hooks into him.
So this corruption then really extended right through the government even then. I mean,
yep.
even J. Edgar Hoover, who was the pillar of, the man who was the most, honest cop in America, supposedly, was involved in a lot of activities that he should not have been involved in.
Very much so.
And that's putting it mildly, right?
That is putting it very mildly, and we're still paying for some of it now yet.
Yeah.
The mob, if they would have been moved on back then, there'd have been a tremendous hurt put on them, but they were allowed to run another 30 years before mm-hmm. anybody did anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this whole mob business started with Prohibition and all that, and what are we trying to do now is start Prohibition again. You know?
Well, now it's, of course, you know, that was with alcohol.
Yeah.
Now it's with drugs.
Cigarettes.
Right.
And I learned one thing working Vice, you can't regulate morality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing that laws can, all they do is if you try to make laws to prevent it, mm-hmm. is create monsters that you can't control.
Mm, yeah, well, you drive it underground, I guess, and when you do that, then you have to have the underworld controlling it.
No, the only underground to it is the corruption that will allow it to operate.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't operate without corruption.
Look, anything you make illegal, whether it's vice or drugs or booze or what have you, there's always a way, there's always an end run around it. And that's what happens, right?
I mean, certainly.
Let's face it, that's exactly what's happened with all of the contraband. Let's talk about legal products. Just legal, like cigarettes are still legal in the United States, and yet we have these outrageous taxes on them up in many states that are just using it as a fundraiser. And what that does is help drive people into smuggling in cigarettes from other states and so forth. And that's a very minor example of what happens, because people are taxed to death.
Right, and now you can't smoke anywhere else anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be more underground yet, and it's just going to cause more crimes and more problems than we can imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking with Jimmy Rothstein, who is a former New York City detective. As you can see, he has a lot to talk about. And if you'd like to join in, by the way, you can do so now at 800-313-9443 while we have the time. And Jimmy, you could stay with us till about half past the next hour, right?
No problem.
Okay, good. I want to ask you also about some other aspects to things that you have dealt with, and they involve a lot of different names. I guess David Thorne was one of them. The blonde ghost I've been hearing about. Bank scandals. We could talk about all of that when we come back from the break. But when you deal in the kind of things that you've dealt with, I'm surprised you have not done a TV, a book write, or some sort of a movie rights type of arrangement.
Well, they've tried it about five times, and it goes so far that all of a sudden it drops dead.
They don't want to do it when they start talking to you, huh?
That's right.
You know why? Because you're going beyond the world of fiction and anonymity, isn't that right?
That's right. And truth is stranger than fiction, I can assure you, when it comes
very
to
very interesting. Very fascinating. All right. You get on the line, folk, if you want to. You got a question. I know it's Thanksgiving week, and a lot of people are making preparations. But if you have a moment, you want to ask Jimmy a question, you by all means, you may do so, because I have certainly not exhausted any questions. I have many more to go. You can chime in at 800-313-9443. My name is Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, and you're listening to Uncensored, Radio Free America, only on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. You join me and my guest, and we will return in just a few moments. Uri International, that's the name. Put the good health and nutrition back in your food with 30 years of research in organic farming and importing powerful organic berries from South America and the Orient. This is an exciting nutrition buying club with a 50% fast cash bonus paid weekly for sharing these exceptional organic products with friends and family. No additives, no preservatives, no pasteurization, coming right from the farm to you. Take it from me, Rick Adams. These products will change the health of your body and your life with the highest quality, tremendous value, low prices, and a great opportunity for you to make that extra money you need. Over 35 live products, free website, training, and leads. This is the company you've been waiting for. Let food be your medicine and medicine your food. Call Barbara right now, 1-800-543-6606. That's 1-800-543-6606, Uri International.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, yes, we're back now. We do have a bunch of callers that want to speak to our guest, Jimmy Rothstein, former New York City detective. And we will do that, Jimmy, if you're ready.
I am ready.
Okay, young man. And first off is John in New York. Hello, John. You're on the program with Jimmy.
Hi, how you doing, Jimmy?
Good.
They had a thing like there's a 14-minute clip on the marijuana for hemp for health or hemp for victory in World War One or Two, and it's like, you know, this big marijuana deal. I've never smoked a joint in my life, and it's like I've been orchestrated like, oh boy, that's really bad stuff. But then lately I've been seeing things to where it's good for your health in a lot of ways. There's medical treatments. It's the most productive of the amino acids, and the clothes it makes last 10 times longer. And it's like, what an orchestration. And to find out that it was so illegal, is it really, do you have any input on that?
Well, it's another one just like cigarettes. Not that I'm for smoking pot or anything. I've never done it. But there's a lot of agricultural value to hemp. But it's like everything else. If you take it and abuse it.
Right. Balance.
And just look what it would do to the marketplace if all of a sudden there's so many things in hemp that are useful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would really turn our whole economy in a different direction.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Well, to me, it's like there's so many untruths out there. It's like everything we touch, doesn't matter if it's insurance or economy or food, or it's like there's a lie attached to it. And it's just perpetuating itself everywhere. And we're all living on this bubble of lies. And it's like you can't even get yourself straight to walk straight almost. It's just frustrating. It's, you know, every time you turn around, you're trying to support yourself or support truth, and you can't begin to talk truth because there's so many factors that come in that just squat truth.
Well, I have another thing I put in there. I call these people opportunity men who take any situation and turn it into an opportunity to make money and get power. And I think that sometimes has more and adds to the untruths and stuff that you hear that goes with this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. I just got a thing. It's not trying to put a plug out there, but it's lovewithoutend.org by Glenda Green. And she's got 14 tapes, and supposedly she's talked with the essence of Jesus. And Jesus just, you know, it's the power of love. It's the power of truth. It's the power of treating each other right and, you know, loving their neighbor. And if we started going with that instead of trying to stick it to our neighbor, things could be a lot better.
Well, that's the problem. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yep. Opportunity, man.
And selfishness. People are selfish. That's it. Self-centeredness.
Yep.
John, thank you. Any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's try Terry in Texas. Hi, Terry. You're on the program with Jimmy.
How goes it? Oh,
good.
I just... it's unfortunate there aren't a lot more people that are awake as to the situation. I guess I'm just putting my two cents in if anybody's listening for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's just one point to illustrate to show you what a sham the justice system is down here in Austin, Texas. They had a lot of controversy with the police. They've killed several people. Most recently, nine guys needing to take down a guy. And they had nine guys on him. They tased him. He died. The guy before that was shot in the back. And there's been some other incidences, and the video camera, of course, wasn't working on two of the patrol cars.
Yeah.
And then what comes out, all that stuff is pretty much, you know, grand juries and swept under the rug and, you know, lots of posturing. The one lady, the cop that did shoot the guy in the back, she eventually got fired. But who did they bring up as the sacrificial lamb last week? A cop that was caught groping some woman's breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 3 months in jail and, you know, and chained to the apartment and, you know, Kaji and the whole nine yards, you know, breaks this woman's breath.
Terry, stay where you are if you can. Hold on the line and we'll pursue this with our guest, Jimmy Rothstein. I'm Rick Adams, hour number two, coming up, Uncensored Radio Free America.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical, constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.